This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. At the risk of getting just a touch too weedy on you here, Russia's got a bond payment due tomorrow, $117 million in dollar bond payments. That means they borrowed in dollars, thus have to pay back in dollars, which is going to be tricky given that Moscow can't actually get to its dollar-denominated bank accounts right now. And rubles? Who's going to take rubles? Am I right? So, allowing for the standard 30-day grace period, Russia's about this close to default. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is on the And Then What Happens desk today.
So, just like the U.S., the Russian government sells bonds for the same reason any country sells bonds.
If you'd like to expand a social program or you'd like to, you know, increase defense spending and you don't have the money sitting on hand, which most places do not, then you would go market and you'd issue, in our country, treasuries.
For Russia, they're called OFZs, and that was KPMG senior economist Tim Mahidi. Now, here's the thing. Russia doesn't issue a ton of these things.
If you're just looking across the world, you wouldn't look at Russia and think, oh, man, that's something that I should really be concerned with.
The amount Russia owes to its bondholders comes to about 15% of its GDP, according to the Institute of International Finance. By comparison, the U.S. owes 100% of GDP worth of debt. So Russia would be in good shape financially to pay its debts, except for two problems.
One, the magnitude of the sanctions.
Roberto Sifon is chief analytical officer for sovereign debt at S&P Global. Sanctions this massive, freezing Russia's central bank assets, make it mighty hard to make payments. That is one problem. Problem number two, Sifon says it's not even clear Russia wants to pay on its debt.
One of the first measures they took was to forbid the transfers of debt repayment to foreign investors.
Russia did say it could pay its debt in rubles, but rubles would be useless to foreign investors. They're worth pennies on the dollar, and you can't really convert them to dollars anyway these days. S&P, Moody's, and Fitch all downgraded Russian debt. Fitch basically said default was imminent. So what if that happens? What if Russia defaults?
The consequences for Russia, immediate consequences, are not very significant.
Alina Rybakova is deputy chief economist at the Institute of International Finance.
However, the long-term implications are severe.
Basically, who is going to trust Russia to pay its debts in the future if it defaults now?
Once you have defaulted on your debt, it takes a long time for foreign investors to come back because they're wary. They remember that episode.
The door to raising money from the rest of the world will be shut for a very long time. And it is a very big door. It took Argentina 15 years to regain access to the world's investors after it defaulted in 2001. And Russia may have to pay very high interest rates just to try to get financing. And that can drive up interest rates in the rest of the country, which limits Russian economic growth. As for the effects of default on the rest of the world,
in terms of impact on the global markets, I don't think it will be a significant impact.
Rybakova says Russia has been isolating itself from the rest of the world financially for years. So the rest of the world is also insulated from Russia. Most of Russia's debt, 80%, according to S&P Global, is owed to investors inside Russia. About $60 billion is owed to investors everywhere else. Some bondholders would get stung, including big-name investment firms, but the overall exposure is pretty low. Again, KPMG's Tim Mahidi.
The amount of Russian assets held by U.S. banks of cross-border exposures is less than Poland, half of Sweden, one-fifth of Italy, and one-fiftieth of the U.K.
But there is a catch, and it is cruel. Some struggling developing countries could easily pay a price for Russia's default.
So if you start to see investors get very nervous about Russia or a default, that can spread to some of these other countries that have nothing to do with this, just out of pure flight to safety, we call it, where people don't understand what's going on in the world, and they go to treasuries or something that they know will be safe. And that can pull money out of developing countries almost overnight.
If vast sums of money flee developing countries that are already on the edge financially, that can drag down currencies and even usher in recession. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.